struggles we've all had to wrestle. We pray 'cause it's all we can do. And while we trust in Jesus, sometimes he leaves us waiting for his hand to move. Oh, but even in darkness, we hold to the promise. There's nothing we can't overcome. So that war you've been fighting will end in God's timing. Sing like the battle's been won. Can you feel it? The song that is rising, and you can't help but let it out. If you're trusting in faith, even now while you wait, lift up a victory shout. Can you feel it? The song that is rising, and you can't help but let it out. If you're trusting in faith, even now while you wait, lift up a victory is already begun. Know that God's up to something. Miracles coming. Rejoice like it's already done. Can you feel it? The song that is rising, and you can't help but let it out. If you're trusting in faith, even now
unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. God is victorious. Brother Taylor used to say it like this: I've done read the last page. I know what's going to happen. When you know how the battle's going to win, it's a little bit easier going to get into battle and fight. Amen? Praise the Lord. This time we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, age 5 to 11. Also, I want to let all of you know that East Texas Youth Conference is not just for our youth. This is for our whole church. But we will be setting up some overflow rooms for those of you that would rather be in a room. These two prayer rooms, we'll open them up for prayer, and then we're going to set them up for an overflow room. They have two TVs in there, and we're just going to believe the Lord is going to do great things. It is such an honor to have my friends, Brother Duke and Sister Jackie Downs. Brother Duke, can you come? I love this man. He is one of the most trustworthy men that I know that's alive today. And I've been trying to get him here for 3 or 4 years now, and he's a pastor. He's gonna take care of that congregation in Chino first. I love you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege to be with you. You know, it's been quite a year, been quite a few years, really, the last couple of years for the body of Christ. And you know, I would be really concerned if I did not know I was in the will of God. The thing that every believer must have and know of assurance is, am I living in the will of God? Paul said, those that love God, that have that love of God in their heart, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And you keep reading, His purpose is to conform us to the image of Christ. No trial, no test, no storm, nothing you have ever faced or gone through as a believer or myself, but what the hand of God was in it, all working it for our good and for His purpose. Amen. I do appreciate being with you, and I leaned over to my wife. All the songs that was sung go along pretty much with what I believe God has given me. I said, but it's always a better assurance to hear people sing songs we haven't talked about, the thought, the sermon, the message that God, I believe, has given me. But I do believe this morning that the confirmation came from every song sung. It was just so real to me to hear every song that was being sung and brought to stir the heart. You know, I personally believe that worshiping God in spirit and in truth, with freedom, liberty, always prepares the soil for the Word of God. You know, you take somebody that comes in a half hour late to the service, they miss the worship, they miss half of the service, and then they show up. Very rare do they really receive what God wants to do in their heart and life. It's that hungry heart that comes on time, hungry to hear the Word of God. And when they worship God in liberty and freedom, that soil has been prepared for the Word of God to be sown. Amen. Thank you again for the invitation. As Pastor alluded to, I have not done a lot of traveling in the last 4 years, a little bit more. God told me to shut it down, to close camp meetings, close everything, and He wants me to just pastor Living Waters Church. And the last 4 years, I can tell you, has been the greatest 4 years of my life, 33 years of pastoring. These last four, not that I was doing anything wrong or willfully wrong in travel and preaching, but God wanted me to learn something in these last 4 years. And I will just tell you, I've learned a lot. Some, I learned what faith is. I learned what trust means. I learned what casting every care means. I learned what it means to go through the most severe trials and tests of your life and to stand here and say, you know what, I'm still in the perfect will of God. Never been happier in all my life because I'm in the will of God. And I believe I'm here in the will of God. Turn with me this morning to Galatians chapter 5. Familiar verses and very familiar thought, but I believe God wants to talk to our heart. Galatians chapter 5, I want to begin at verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm asking You this morning to anoint Your servant. Let these lips be Your oracle to the heart and life of the hearer. Let the Word of God go forth under the anointing. Let it not return void, but let it accomplish in every heart and every life. And Father, if there's people here today, and I believe they are, have questions in their heart and life, in their walk and relationship with You. And there's some in some ways unanswered. Holy Spirit, answer every question in every life as only You can do. In Your name I'll ask it. Amen. I've just titled this, Where Does Faith Come From? Where does faith come from? There's a lot of quick answers that could come to our lips and our thoughts. But let's go to the Word of God. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 22. Said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Back to verse 22, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Underline this because we're going to deal with it a little deeper later on. The word Spirit there is a capital S. When you find the word Spirit in a small S, it's dealing with man's spirit. But when you find a capital S, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. You're talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost baptism. And so understand that the fruit of the capital S, Holy Spirit, Amplified says it this way, but the fruit of the Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes is love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, patience. The work of the Spirit within accomplishes what God's after in your life and mine. So we have all talked a lot about the church was tested in the last year. And we discovered that the faithfulness of the so-called church has been painfully exposed. Painfully exposed. What we called faith, what we called trust, what we called divine healing, what we called a walk in the Spirit, what we have taught, thought, and prayed and preached. And I'm not saying we were ever wrong in any of it. But when the test comes, it always shows what we really believe. That test will always show. I believe God allowed America to have the plandemic. And in that plandemic, they had all of the cult of COVID that has run across this nation. I know it's been real. I know that it had its effect. But when it started, they said to us over a year ago, possibly 2 million people could die of COVID. That's what they said. What we didn't know was that 7,000 plus people die every day in America and have for many, many years. Which means 2.5 million people have died in America since last February 28th. 2.5 million. We rolled a lot of that 2.5 over to the 500,000 to keep fear in that church, to keep fear in this nation. State of California, 752 people die every day. So 250,000 people have died in California since last February the 28th. Only saying that to say this. People died of cancer. They died of heart attacks, strokes, whatever it might be. I had two or three people in my church that died that did not die of COVID, but their death certificate says COVID. There was a purpose and a plan from the enemy. I believe that it ultimately has taken us to a rapture of the church and a revealing of an Antichrist. I do believe that. I don't believe for a second that this has not been the plandemic of a lost world and an evil agenda. But while all that's going on, our God is still on the throne. Our God still knows exactly what's going on. And so He has allowed the church in these uncharted waters to go through stuff through this year. And it's exposed a lot of things. We witnessed a fear that came over our nation that I have never seen in my lifetime. When I was a little boy in church, we had the polio pandemic back in the 50s. And there was people that was so fearful, swept the world and the nation. And everybody was scared about polio. But I remember my dad, an old-time Pentecostal man of God, prayed for many of us that God would keep us from polio. Not one person in that little church ever got polio. And if you got sick, you got well. Amen. We witness a fear in this last year. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on this earth? Luke 18:8. When I come back, will I find faith on this earth? So, if 60% of the churches remain closed today and possibly will never reopen, and 33% of those that stopped going to church 1 year ago have not gone back to church. So let me ask us this morning, has the test of faith proven anything? Is the rapture, knowing it's at hand, did God show us how unprepared and how the so-called church is for the rapture? Did God show us our fearfulness that drove us to set it home, to close 60% of our churches, to shut down a nation that was one nation founded under God? What happened to us? What went on? My question came through the year, where does faith come from? If Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? Then what he must be saying is, the final act of my testing of the nation and the church is there any faith in that believer? Are you still looking for the rapture of the church? Are you still looking for the coming of the Lord? But preacher, you don't know what I've been through. Welcome to Pentecost. It's not what you've been through. It's where you're going to end up. Amen. So when we look at it, so if faith was tested and we found it to be fear, then we must be honest with God and admit our answer is spiritual. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But pastor, preacher, I had to do this because I had to stay because I didn't because. You wouldn't believe the excuses handed to this preacher, but it didn't keep one of them out of Walmart. Even Governor Nuisance said that the church and faith is non-essential. I said, you're a fool. You're a fool. Saints, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on this earth? Tells me if I'm filled with fear and I'm hid in a corner somewhere because fear is controlling and dominating my mind with depression and oppression, then I'm telling you that my faith has took a left turn or a right turn. Then I must be looking at it. Wait a minute. This is spiritual. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I had a brother. Still alive, thank God. COVID, he probably wasn't 24 hours of being dead. Maybe 48 at the most. I went to his house a year ago. And he's in the last stages at home with COVID. And I went to pray for him. And my first thought was, God, how do I do this? I'm not big on masks. That's okay if you wear one. I have to in many places. I'm not saying that you shouldn't wear it in rebellion. But what I'm saying is I'm not good at it. So I'm getting ready to go to his house. And all I knew is he was at death's door. And I know what God had showed me. So I'm sitting there thinking, what do I do? And I said to my wife, we got to go pray for Adrian. And I said, God, how do I handle this? A year ago, how deadly this virus is. What do I do? He said, do what James said to do. Said they call for the sick, they call for the elders of the church, them anointing them with oil, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I said to my wife, I didn't tell nobody. I probably had COVID when I got there. I was so sick, I couldn't do anything but hold on to a dresser. But I prayed for him. I never told a soul or a human that I thought I had COVID. I didn't care. I wasn't going to be tested. I was being tested. I didn't care. I knew the test would prove whether I'm right or wrong or God's real or not. So I just told my wife, I said, just don't bring anything but anointing with oil. That's what we did. I prayed for him. 9 days he laid in a hospital with not much hope to live. But he's out running his company again, living for God, walking with God. What am I saying? Faith must override fear. The word of God must take preeminence over whatever hell is suggesting and hell's throwing at us. Close your churches in California. I'm probably one of the only out of maybe two or three churches only in all of Southern California that remained open when everything was closed. And they told me, what are you going to do? And why? I told the church, I said, when we open up, and we did, I said, if the police come, send them to me. While I'm preaching, I don't care. Send them to me. And what I was going to tell them was, look, mister, I respect you and I honor you, but we're protesting this morning. That's what I was going to tell him. They protested and tore Beverly Hills apart, burned L.A. to the ground, marched our streets. I'm not going to tear up one business. You won't have to send one cop after one person in this congregation, but I'm protesting this morning. I just met the captain of the police department a few weeks ago. He said, I'm so glad you're still having church. We would never touch your church. Why? It's essential. That's why. Now let's get into this. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. They think her and I are crazy. We walk together 4, 5, 6 days a week, possibly. 3 or 4 miles, we walk together. They run from us because we don't have on a mask. I mean, they run. They run, hide behind fences. They run out in the field. I'm serious. I cannot exaggerate. You know why? I got a sound mind. What are you running from? He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. I believe in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I believe it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18 said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love, casteth out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or mature in love. Pastor, preacher, I'm scared to death. Well, we'll get that matured. Hang in there. Just hang in there. Yeah, but I love. No, you don't know what love is yet. When you quit fearing, you'll know that love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2 and 8 said, for by grace are we saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Hear me close. Don't ever separate grace and faith. They go together and they're from the same God and the same Spirit. By grace were you and I saved through faith. Grace and faith are inseparable. Let me show you real quick. If I got done preaching this morning and I said, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, he's convicting you, you're lost, you've never been saved, you don't know God, you don't know Christ as Savior, but if you'll come to an old-fashioned altar, surrender your life to him, he will save you. And you're sitting there and there's a dealing, there's a wooing, there's a drawing, and you're saying, what is this? I never felt this way before. That's the grace of God pulling and tugging on you. When you stand up and take the first step, the grace of faith will overwhelm you. And by the time you get to an altar, you'll be introduced to your deliverer. And by grace were you saved through the faith of God that brought you there. Don't ever separate them. Keep the two together. Amen. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I'll deal with that a little deeper here in a second. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, if it's works, then that means it's all carnal and flesh and legalism. No, it's not. Stay with me, saints. I'm glad you're not in a hurry. The Bible said, faith worketh by love. James said, faith worketh by love. You getting the connection? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. In other words, if you love me, you will do what I tell you. Is it making sense, saints? So love is not only a fruit of the Spirit, but love then is an act of our obedience to the Word of God. Now, this is when works become the obedience of faith. Not trying to earn faith, not trying to earn grace, not trying to earn holiness, but the obedience of faith means I can't help myself. I must do the will of God. I must act on the Word of God. I must put these works that are driving my spiritual man into doing something for God. I cannot help it. Call it works, lest a man should boast in one way. Yes, but on the other side of that, when you see a man filled with the love of God, shed abroad in their heart a hunger and a desire to please God, then works become the obedience of faith. I don't pay tithe so I don't get cursed. I pay tithe because I get to. I don't give to missions because somebody said if you give to missions you have more money and more people. No, I give to missions because I love to see a lost world saved. I don't have to. I get to. I don't have to go to church. I get to. I don't have to pray. I get to. None of that is a works. That's a demand on my life that said the works of God, the obedience of faith, can't keep me anywhere else. Romans 10:17, you all can quote it. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, it's the wise person that hears the word of God and obeys it. It's not just hears it or just says it, but who does it. A wise builder hears the word of God and does it. It's a foolish man that hears the word of God and does not do it. There is no act or work of obedience of faith. Jesus said, it's a wise man that hears the word of God and does it. If he called me to a certain country, a certain place on this planet, I would be wrong to not obey God. Jesus said, the wise man will hear and do. Saints, I learned years ago that faith is not what I say near as much as what I am. You won't believe the promises I've had in 1 year of people that quit church and have never been back. As soon as this happens, as soon as this happens, as soon as this happens. Listen close, saints. Years ago, I learned that faith is not what I say. Faith is what I am. You know why you're sitting here this morning? Faith brought you here. Hallelujah. And if the Son of Man returns while I'm preaching, is he's going to say, did I find faith in that harvest tabernacle this morning? I'm looking for faith in this house, is what he's saying. That faith that brought you here is the same faith that's going to pull that resurrected and pull that dead loved one that's died in Christ out of that grave. That faith that brought you here is the faith of the living God. If you want to know if your faith is real or not, you have to ask yourself the question, am I trying to use God to fulfill my will, my desires, or do I want God to use me to fulfill his will, his desires? To answer that question with pure and honest heart, we will discover exactly where our faith comes from. Am I trying to use God to fulfill my will, my desires? God, you know how good you would look if you did this. And how good both of us would look. And oh, what a testimony I'd have. I'd write a book. I mean, can you imagine how good you and I would look? That's your will, that's your desire, trying to manipulate God. But when you surrender, this must come to every believer on this planet. When Jesus entered Gethsemane, he said, nevertheless, not my will. There must be in your life and my life, believer, a nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm asking in honesty and sincere and pure heart, but just in case there's a little con job here, a little manipulation here, too much selfish flesh here, please God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When your will and desire is being shoved in the face of God, shoved in God's face of God, you got to, or else. No, God, use me to fulfill your will, your desire. Why does he do that way? Sometimes what you're asking God for, he uses you to bring it through. He puts you through that trial, that test, to prove what he wants to do in the life of your life, not only to answer that request, not only to perform a miracle, but what he does in your life and mine is eternal as God is. And the work that he does in our life, and when we're trusting him and looking to him, and he uses us to bring that about in our life, how powerful it is. Saints, no doubt, one of the most common conversations that we hear going on today is, how do I get the faith for that? Now you fill into that, okay? How do I get faith for that? I don't mind telling you, I don't want to use the word most of, but a lot of my life, preaching, pastoring, and traveling has been, God, how do I get faith for that? How do I get faith for that? There's one with this. There's one going through that. There's one that their husband's this. There's one their wife is this. Another one their kids are this. How do I get faith for that? Common question. We see in the church world today the testimony of some, how God has been very gracious to them by bringing them deliverance and healing to their lives. But we also see many who seemingly are sick. They cannot get well. And in most cases, they are people. They love God and they walk in all the light they have. Amen? Pastor, preacher, I've done all I know to do. I pray more than I've ever prayed. I don't watch cartoons. You know, whatever you've done. You're trying to do something to bargain with God, but it's still not working. I've done all I know to do. I won't go there. I won't go there. I won't do this. I won't do that. I don't understand why this is not working. Your heart is sincere. Your motives are pure. You're walking in all the light you have. And you're saying, why? Did it work for him or her and not me? The testimony this morning was not
to destroy your faith, but to build it. There's hope for me now. Not, well, why did he do it for her? What about me? That attitude tells you what about you. We see what I'm saying. They believe. They do their best to accept by faith and yet do not get results. Where does faith come from? How do I get more faith? This is not just a question, saints. It's a question that must be answered. If the Son of Man's coming, and faith has been proven to be, for the most part, fear, then God, would you tell us what faith is? Would you show us what faith is? Let me tell you something, saints. I drove here to preach this message. If my body would have took it, I would have walked here to preach this message because I want you to know where faith comes from. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I stand here in the will of God. Live or die, sink or swim, I'm in the perfect will of God. Why? You can't kill a Christian. You just change your address. Man mistreating his wife. True story. Every time she'd go to church, he'd threaten her one way or another. One Sunday morning, she got up and got dressed, and here he stood with a pistol. Pulled that hammer back, he said, put that up to her head. He said, you're going to church today? What are you going to do now? She said, I'm going to church. Pull the trigger, I'll go to heaven. Don't pull it, I'm going to church. Let me tell you something, saints. What do you do with a person like that? Put them in heaven? Right on time. Amen. See, I think we've been afraid of too much. That ain't nothing to be afraid of. You've had the flu. I've had the flu. I had a four-year-old, had the flu 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He died. Horrible, painful for a preacher. Just got the flu and died. So I'm not mocking COVID, but I am mocking the fear of it. We see the church world today doing what I'm saying is they're wanting to know the answer. When you and I begin to study the Word of God and seek the Lord for answers, saints, we will find the Word. The Word is the foundation where faith comes from. From the Word of God is where faith comes from. That's the beginning and the ending of faith. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is the author and finisher of our faith. His name is Jesus. And the foundation of your faith and mine is in the bedrock of the Word of God. Most people we talk to, they'll tell you what Fauci's saying and 100 other news people are saying. I want to hear, what does the Word of God say? So having said that, when we begin to study, we find out that foundation is of faith is the Word of God. The Bible is very clear that faith is either a gift of the Spirit or it's a fruit of the Spirit. They both of the Spirit there is a capital S. When you look back in Romans from 1 through 7, you'll find the word Spirit is a small S. And Paul is saying all the way through, when he gets to chapter 7, he said, this is the best man can do with his own self-efforts. This is the best man can do with a small s of his own spirit and effort. He says, 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Keep reading. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus. Where? In Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the capital S, Spirit. If faith is a fruit of the capital S, Spirit, there's no way to get faith outside of the Spirit of God. There's no way to get love outside of the Holy Spirit of the living God. You can love until you get pulled over on the freeway or ran off the freeway. You can love till somebody cuts in line in your favorite eating place. You can love until love is proven or tested. But the love that has been perfected or the love that's mature is going to come from the Spirit of God. Paul said it's in Christ. From the law of sin, for in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is Paul saying is the seventh chapter of Romans is the best man can live without the Holy Spirit. But he says in the eighth chapter, the Holy Spirit puts us in Christ, who is what? The overcomer in me and through me. And it's capital S. Wait a minute. Do you see how essential the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? Or Holy Ghost? I'm not here to offend anybody. So if it's given, then it must be understood that someone has to have possession of it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. Then somebody has to have possession of it before they can give it. The one who has it must be the one who gives it. Now, I know I'm not trying to condescend or talk down to nobody. I'm trying to put it in a term and in an easy understanding that you and I realize that what we've struggled for 1 year and maybe many years for, God is saying this morning, I'm going to free you in 10 seconds when you realize where and how faith works and where it comes from. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I really am. It is impossible for somebody to give you something that you already have. They can add to what you got, but they can't give you something you already have. Impossible. So God, I'm looking at a situation. I can't do this. I can't think it out of the way. I can't suggest it. I can't work up a faith within my own mentality or my mind over matter. I cannot work it up. Where am I going to get it? From the giver. Where do I get it? From the giver. If it is given, you do not possess it before it is imparted. That means it must be the property of the one who imparts it. It imparts it in order for him to give it. God is saying, I am in charge of faith. I'm in charge of the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from me, the third person of the Godhead. The Spirit of God has love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith, has all of it in one package. And it comes from the fruit of the Spirit. If it's a fruit, then it can grow. If it's a gift, somebody has to impart it. If faith is a fruit, it must belong to the tree on which it grows. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, I abide in you. You can ask what you will. What's he saying? The Holy Ghost put you in Christ, and Christ baptized you in the Holy Ghost. It put me in him and him in me. Now every source of my life is in the work of the Holy Spirit. Every source I need comes from him. He's a miracle worker. I thought we sung about it. The Bible clearly says faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Nowhere does it say that it is a fruit of our own endeavor, which would be a small s, human effort spirit. I'm going to work this up. The faith boys taught me how to say it, how to confess it, how to claim it. And without a personal encounter and intimacy with Jesus Christ, we've wandered out here in our own will and our own desires, claiming stuff that if God gave it to us, we'd have quit church 20 years ago. We'd have backslid the first week. He said, I know you better than you know yourself. If you'll find out where the source is and why I am overseeing it, I'm the author and I'm the finisher of it. I'm watching your life. I know what I can trust you with. You think I can trust you as a two-year-old with a butcher knife? No, I can't. I wait till you're old enough to know what it is, how dangerous it is. And that's the same thing with faith. We got faith people teaching us faith to claim this and to drive by that and claim it for you, claim it for this. It's yours. Pick, name it, claim it, frame it, whatever. Let me tell you, that's nothing but a small-ass human effort developing a church full of greed and covetousness. Don't get mad at me. I'll clean this up in a minute. The spirit the Bible talks about here is the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of man. It's a capital S. It's amazing to read through these verses, little s, little s, little s, boom, capital S, Holy Spirit's here. My God, saints, been a long time now. I was in Russia my third, fourth trip, whatever it was. I don't know how many trips, made 20-some, but one of the trips I was there, they told me, they said, we have a demon-possessed girl. We've been dealing with her for 1 year. And every time we pray with her, them demons just talk back at us and doesn't do anything and doesn't leave. Would you pray for her if I bring her this afternoon to your afternoon meeting? I'm just looking at her. The Ukrainian lady spoke some English. I'm just looking at her and I'm thinking, I don't know. My brother Adrian's standing there. I don't know why I prayed him to get well. But anyway, he's standing there. He said, bring her. I'm serious. I'm serious. All them demons do is talk back to that church for a year. And you want me to do what? I can tell you, brother, before that afternoon service, I'm an hour early. I'm walking out in the lobby of that old place we were preaching in. I'm out in that lobby saying, God, I can't do this. I can't cast the devil out of nobody. I've never needed you more, and I need you now. I begin to pace and walk. I'm talking over 25 years ago. I'm pacing. I'm walking. I'm saying, God, if she comes, you'll have to deliver her. I've never dealt with anything quite like this. I don't know, God. I need you. I need you. Let me tell you something, saints. I cried out to God not knowing what I'm preaching to you, what I didn't realize that, Pastor, my pacing was connecting me to the source. That vine was connected to that branch, and everything in that vine was coming out in that branch. I just kept walking with him and pleading and calling on him. He just kept filling me and filling me. I preached out of Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus said, who do men say I am? When I got to that end of the service, I laid hands on that demon-possessed Russian girl. You never seen a manifestation like it in all your life. But an hour later, God delivered her, set her free, and filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying, where does faith come from? I don't know how that happened. I mean, I'm talking about a girl without hands, arms, using them at all, could do what a snake does. And she emptied that building. Everybody in there ran out, including the pastor. They ran out of that building. And she's on her back, with her back and her feet behind her, her legs behind her, coiled like a snake, and she'd shoot out across that crowd, say something in Russian. And she would just keep going and going and going. I said, I'm not going nowhere. I've come here in the name of Jesus. I may not understand all of it, but I do know one thing, saints. I was connected to the source, and the source said, you do what I told you to do. The obedience of faith will bring you to the grace of faith. And when the grace of faith comes, it'll do what you cannot do. It's total dependency. It's total dependency, saints. I'm talking about a faith I'm talking about a faith that will move mountains. I'm not talking about a faith that philosophers and psychologists call faith. I'm talking about a faith that will bring healing from cancer. A faith that will heal the blind and make them see. I'm talking about a faith that makes the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. Saints, this is the only faith that I'm interested in this morning. I see America rocked on her heels. Everybody's rocked and rolling. 60% of the churches are closed. Not an ounce of faith left. God, give us a baptism of the Holy Spirit of God and pour faith in the believer again. Me and Pastor Schutz talking when COVID hit and everybody had to close for so many weeks or months. I said to him, Pastor, don't you believe when this thing lifts, we'll have standing room only in the church? He said, no, I don't. I'm thinking, all right, where's he coming from? He said, Brother Downs, this is going to expose the faith of the church. That was a year ago. He said, when it's over, you'll see people that will probably never get back to church. Never. He said, I don't think it'll be standing room only. Boy, has that come to pass. You know why? A year ago, I'm in uncharted waters. I'm not sure where this is at, where it's going, what's going on, what's behind it. None of the above. Just walk by faith. Walk by trust. And in all of that, a year later, I go, okay, we've been tested. Our faith has been run through the tree shredder. We have been pushed and pressed. There was not a news channel from anything you want to name, whether it's radio, TV, or newspaper, whatever, that didn't do anything but drive fear and unbelief down the heart of every human being, including the church. Don't go to church, and if you do, stay 6 foot apart. Don't shake hands, high five, fist, do whatever, elbow, kick, however you're going to meet them. And the word of God said that forsake not the assembly of yourself together, as a manner of some is, exhorting, edify, build one another up, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, greet one another with a holy kiss. Hallelujah. God, help us to see it. Help us to learn it. Saints, I'm not sure, but it appears to me much of the church world does not know where faith comes from. I've watched the psychologists. I've watched the hyper-faith teachers teach people that faith is the power of mind over matter, trying to imagine it until you believe it. 95% conservatively of the faith teachers today are the ones that prophesied the election. And today they're unemployed. I do not want to be a prophet that wants you to look at me because I said something. No, if I said it, God, let the Holy Ghost say it through me. Because if you said it, you will do it. If you spoke it, you'll bring it to pass. And for the last 2 months, they've been trying to make excuses for why they said what they said and it didn't work. And people are departing from the faith when it was the faith, so-called hyper-faith people, that was telling us how it was going to work and how it was going to come out. God would never let me tell what I kept wanting to happen. I thought, oh, I'd like to tell them today. He said, no, you keep your mouth shut. If I tell you to say it, I'll tell you to say it, and I'll do it. But don't you say it. So I just sat back and said, go ahead, boys, jump off the cliff. Jump off the cliff. Jump off the cliff. And now, 2 months later, they're trying to get something out of it. The Bible clearly says faith is a fruit, isn't it, of the Spirit. And we've watched this. Try to imagine it. Try to think and believe it in your mind. Which has led to multitudes of Christians trying to believe that, and they struggle and groan at the altar, interceding for something that has already been given. And don't get mad at me. I will explain this, please. I've groaned, I've interceded, I begged God for this, and he hasn't given it. He hasn't done it. Maybe he already did it. Our problem is not that of an intercession near as much. It is the one of appropriation. It is accepting what God has already provided. For the fruit of the Spirit is faith, love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. Fruit of the Spirit. Am I filled with the Spirit? Am I walking in the Spirit? Then I'm after something that's already mine. Child of God, how many times have we seen and heard people saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed? Because they thought just saying it would produce it. They have more confidence in their ability to say it, trying to believe it, than they do in the scriptural method of an exercise of a divinely imparted faith. Faith must be imparted before it can be exercised. And the only place you're going to get it is from God. The only method to receiving faith is by contacting him and get alone with him. Well, I'm going to get in their prayer line. I need you to impart in me the faith you have. No, you don't want the faith I've got. You want the faith he's got. You get his faith, you won't have any more trouble. You get mine, you'll keep on having some troubles. Mine is maturing. Mine is growing. And I'll show you why in a minute. See, we thought that just saying it was going to produce it. Faith must be imparted before it can be exercised. And you can only get it from him and him alone. To come into a blessed, holy communion, that the faith which is of God flows into the heart and the life until you and I become possessed with his wonderful grace that the Bible says is a gift or a fruit of the Spirit. Saints, we're all alike. We're human. How do I get this microwaved? How do I get this in a drive-thru? How do I get this in a prayer line? Thank God for prayer lines. Understand, we're all American for the most part. And the way we think, I want it and I want it now. I want this popcorn stuff. You got to stand and do this for 20 minutes? And the old skillets? I want to put it in that microwave, punch that button, popcorn, and it'll sing when it's ready. Child of God, we brought that same mentality to God. And we're telling him, I need it and I need it now. And if you don't do it by 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'll have to do this or that. Don't waste your time. Go do this and that. Because he's saying it's in an impartation of a communion with him, a communion, an interlocking with him, a total surrender to him. It's given him the keys to that house. Let him have the keys to that house. Not a room in this house that he's not welcome in. What's going on? I'm unclogging every artery that connects me to that vine. I'm getting into the source of this vine. It's Christ. And anything that's blocking this source or artery of the flow of the fruit of the Spirit, he's only saying, I prolong it for your longing and your intercession with me, your communion with me. It's in the source. But not us. I need it and I need it now. I need it quick. Amen. It is a fruit. Then, saints, it must be a growth in our life. If it's a fruit, then it must be a growth in our life. Never forget, whether it's a gift or a fruit, its origin, it's one and the same. If it is a fruit, then there must be growth or progression that makes it grow. It can be an ever-increasing faith, but it does not come from a fact that we struggle to believe. Apples do not struggle to grow on an apple tree. They just grow. The apple does not grow the tree, but the tree grows the apple. Faith can begin to grow in the human heart. Why? Because of its indwelling presence of the Spirit that manifests His presence by growing fruit on the branches of the tree of our life. See, saints, an apple is an apple when it's small, tiny. Does it grow to full ripeness and maturity by just struggling to increase itself? No, no. Got buds? There's a little tiny apple. Boy, I hope you grow. I hope you become an apple. I hope you get big enough I can eat you. I hope you grow. Saints, spiritually, we've looked at our tree of life. We've looked at the only source of faith. And we said, I hope it grows. I hope it becomes a bigger apple. No, child of God, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. It'll be done for you. You cannot connect yourself to the source without the source growing the apple, without the source growing the faith. Our whole problem is it's a run-through, drive-through, microwave. Wait on God. Wait on God. Not because God's holding something over your head, trying to dangle something over you. No, He loves you too much to just throw it at you and treat you like Santa Claus or Grandpa. He loves you. And He says that my eternal plan's in this giving to you. I don't just throw faith at anything and everything. I put it into the source. And from that source, it begins to grow. Are you hearing me? Separate that apple from that tree. It'll never grow. It takes the life of that tree. It partakes of the very nature of that tree. It is totally dependent upon the tree for its existence and its life. The great truth is one of the fundamental doctrines and the teachings of our great Bible. Let me make this clear. There is a faith that grows like fruit, and it is ever increasing. It is a developing faith, but it comes from God. Stop for a minute. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So is love, joy. I heard the choir and the worship leader this morning saying, it all comes from within. That joy comes from within. I'm born of the Spirit, born again. I'm filled with the Spirit. Now He's abiding in me. He's living in me. Sow to the Spirit, you'll reap. Sow to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, capital S. You cannot walk in the Spirit without what's in the Spirit affecting your life and mine. I want more love. I want more joy. I want more peace. He said, stay connected to the source, because in that source comes everything you need. Where does faith come from? It doesn't say, I hope you can produce it. No, He's the author. He's the finisher of faith. He can give me faith by exercising the growth of it in my life. That means, saints, it's a lifetime of source and a lifetime of growth for the fruit of the Spirit to work out in your life and mine. Yes, there is a gift of faith. We'll look at that tonight, but the gift of faith is separate or different than they're both from the same Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit means it can grow in my life. See, I pastored for 33 years. I've seen people come in. You talk about diamonds in the rough. You talk about guys that came from straight from prison, Corcoran, guys that was in the same housing unit with Charles Manson, the Menendez brothers, Sirhan. These guys come in, give their life to God. You talk about rough. Somebody shows up at the church, first thing they say to me is, do you want them here or you want me to get rid of them? I say, wait a minute, this ain't a prison. See, they're young in the Lord. They're child. They're children. Just keep them in here. Let them sit and learn. Let them be discipled. Let them be mentored. Let them learn from other men and women in the church. And all of a sudden, they begin to grow. They've been down 20 years, 30 years. Got a girl sitting on my front row, just got out last year. 36 years she was in prison. 36 years. Fell in love with God in prison. Got saved. Filled with the Spirit of God in the prison. We've been preaching to her for 20 plus years in Chowchilla prison. God supernaturally got her out. What I'm trying to tell you is not everybody that comes in has the maturity you have. Just don't forget where you came from. Don't forget how they used to look at you. And now you're looking at them. Wait a minute. God, let the love of God be shed abroad in my heart. How? By the Holy Ghost. Let that love, then, it begins to grow, begins to mature. Faith begins to grow, it begins to mature. I'm up against something that, God, what do I do? What do I do? How do I do it? I say, oh, God, I just go back to the source. You're the author and finisher of faith. God, I've cast every care on you. I've trusted you. Casting every care means total trust. That means it's no longer yours, it's his. And the author and finisher of faith will never fail in what you trust him with. Stay to the source. Let that source empower you. And you say, oh, God, I'm up against another major, major, major situation and problem. Believe me, saints, I've walked through the valleys of the shadows of death the last 3 or 4 years like no human being possibly. One trial after another, one storm after another, to stand here and tell you faith comes from God. Joy, peace, love comes from God. It'll fill you to full and overflowing. And people will go, is this guy consciousless or what? No, I just found my source. I found my source. You told me some prayer requests. I go, okay, we'll be praying about that. Inside I'm going, are you kidding me? I'll go to the source. God, that's a biggie. Only you can do that one. And let me tell you something, saints. The more you hang around that source, the more you won't want to leave it. You reach over here and say, hey, an apple. Wow. He's about as big as the end of my finger. Yeah, I like apples. Now look at him. Oh, my God. He's bitter. He's terrible. He's green. He's awful. Leave him alone. Leave him connected to the source. He said it will bear fruit in your life and mine. Stay connected to that source. Don't pull that fruit off. Stay connected to the source. And when you stay connected to the source, you can't give me a request, a problem, a need that's bigger than the God of my source. I've got to give you this one. Three or four months back, I get a call from a lady that says to me, first of all, I want to tell you I'm a woman of God, and I'm as much a woman of God as you think you're a man of God. I said, oh, okay, yeah. This sounds good. We got something started right now. This is going to be a good one. My mother goes to your church. I don't agree with her, and I don't agree with your church, but I'm as much a woman of God as you are. And my brother doesn't go to church, doesn't like God and church, nobody, nothing. And he's very, very angry this morning. And so I've called you, and I've never had anyone talk to me as evil and mean in the ministry as she talked to me for a half hour. Her mother is 96 years old and has COVID. And she said she got COVID at your church. I said she didn't go to Walmart. She didn't grab a doorknob going into some store, some house. She didn't open a plastic bag that 30 people picked up that item in the store. It doesn't come that way. I said, oh, this is a woman of God. So she unloads on me and hangs up. My mother has COVID, and they've locked her down. 96 years old. I hung up and said, she'll be all right. Yeah. No. 96? Hey, source. Let me tell you something, source. This is a biggie. This is a 96-year-old lady. They don't survive this kind of stuff. If ever a pastor needed a miracle, she said she's a woman of God as much as I'm a man of God. I don't care what she says about me or her. I forgive her. Source, we need a miracle in that 96-year-old lady. Let me tell you something, saints. 16 days later, my wife called her and she said, I've never had a sick day for 16 days. I've never had an ounce of headache or flu. I haven't had nothing. They declared me this morning absolutely COVID free and not a sign of it. Can I tell you this morning, saints, I could have had a nervous breakdown or worse. I just went to the source, and pastor, I never left it until the grace of God enabled me to know I gave her to God, and I'm trusting you with it. And if you got it, then you save her. You honor her faith and you save her daughter, even though she says she's a woman of God. Save her and save her son. Amen. Last Sunday I'm preaching, she's sitting back there smiling from ear to ear. She don't weigh 75 pounds soaking wet. She got mad because she went to get her new driver's license at 95 and they didn't give it to her till she's 100. I don't like it. I said, I kind of like them at 70. She said, I'm 96 years young. Can I tell you, saints, I didn't come here to brag on Duke. I come here to tell you, I've learned the source of faith. Let me put a caboose on this. Oh, my God, I preached past 12. Some of your roast is burning. Saints, it's a developing faith, but it comes from God. It is imparted by the Spirit. It's not born of agony, nor does it come from the mentally trying to affirm it. It is not the product of a will. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Where does faith come from? The same place love, joy, peace, patience, etc. comes from. It must grow in our lives. Remove faith from the tree. Remove faith from the source. It will cease to grow and it will rot. The only answer, and I close twice today instead of six times, I promise. Maybe. The only answer is a separated communion unto God. What you faced this last year or more, and what I faced in the ministry. I lost a couple in my church, not COVID, a couple in my church, 3 days apart, 80 years old, been with me 25 plus years. He just sat down in his chair and went home. 3 days later, she said, I'm not living without him. And she said, take me to the hospital. They took her there and they come out and told her, your mother's in heaven. She died 45 minutes after they got her there. I lost my sister-in-law, my associate pastor. 41 days later, I lost my brother-in-law, my associate pastor, Pastor Dave. Many of you know him and you've met him. Couldn't find him, and I found him dead. Had a massive heart attack. Let me tell you something, saints. Just go back to the source. I was with Dave for 71 years of my life. I lost a piece of me. But I've learned, Pastor, that my source is love, joy, peace, meekness, patience, and all the faith I need. And I've noticed that if I pull away from that source, I find myself becoming alone, fearful. I find myself going, God, are you going to bring us through this? I begin to realize that when you separate from that source, you'll die or you'll rot for sure. Saints, can I close with asking everyone in here, would you just go back to your source? He said, I am the author. I'm the finisher of your faith. It's in the fruit of the Spirit. If we would all this morning stand and come to an altar, to a platform to sing whatever God's done in your heart or life or dealing with you in, just go back to the source this morning. If you're fearful, go to the source. If you need love, go to the source. He's everything you need. And when you walk away, you'll go, man, brother, I don't know why I love you so much. It's the love of God. I said, it's the love of God. As they begin to come, could I get us to just find us a place to pray this morning and ask God, fill us with the source. You said to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with your Spirit is to be filled with the source, the life of God in us and through us. Holy Spirit, have your will and way in this house.